Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God today and strengthen our lives in the Word of God, believing God today for breakthrough and His ministry in our lives. I've entitled this message, Let My People Go, but what I really want to have as the title is, God wants to bring His people out from under the oppression and under the burdens of the Egyptians. God wants to bring His people out from under the burden that the world spirit carries and that the world carries. God's people are different. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We belong to the Lord. We're kings and priests unto our God. Let's begin this morning with Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in the world. Egypt represents the world. People of God today that are under oppression, under bondage. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Anyone here today with sorrows, with burdens? The Lord says, I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, out from the world system, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God says there's a warfare to get you out of the land, and there's a warfare to get you into the land. There's a warfare on our lives to get us out of Egypt, to get us out from under the world spirit, from under the bondage, from under the oppression of the world. But there's another warfare against us to get us into the land, the good inheritance of the Lord. We fight a battle in two sides, in two ways. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the world oppresses them. Come now, therefore, the word to Moses, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God wants to deliver us from the oppression of this world. Exodus chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into this land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. The land that God's talking about, it was not simply the land of Canaan. It was the life of God in the Spirit. The liberty and blessing of the Lord for His people, which will one day be realized fully in the new heavens and the new earth, the true Canaan land. God says, I want to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I want to rescue you from bondage. Then we have Psalm 105 and verse 37, which is a commentary on what God did for His people. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Some of you will have this verse memorized by the end of this sermon, and you should. Get it down in your heart. The Bible says, God brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That's what the word of the Lord says. God says, I'm going to bring my people out from under bondage. I'm going to bring them out from under the oppression. I'm going to bring them out from under the burdens of this world. And they will have the blessing of the Lord. They will have spiritual prosperity. I will bring them out. with silver and gold, financial provision and prosperity, and not one feeble person among the tribes. God says, I'm going to touch your physical bodies. I'm going to put strength in you. My healing life is going to flow into you. Hallelujah. My heart is burdened many times over the sin struggle, over the financial struggle, over the health struggle of God's people, both in this nation and the nations of the world. My heart cries out because there's something of the Word of God in my heart says that it should not be this way, that God has something greater for His people. The Word of the Lord in my heart cries out against it. And I know that the Lord has come down. I am come down to deliver you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Let's have a spirit of faith today. Let's take on the word of the Lord today. Let God be true and every man a liar. Seven times over in the book of Exodus, God said these words, "Let my people go." As Moses contended with Pharaoh, the ruler of the darkness of this world, the power over Egypt, the world spirit, as Moses contended with Pharaoh seven times over, he said, the Lord of heaven says, let my people go. Seven times over, that number of fullness, there is a contesting, there's a contending against the people of God. The enemy doesn't want to let us go. The world system doesn't want to let us go. The media doesn't want to let us go. The immoral culture doesn't want to let us go. But God says, I am come down. I want to set my people free. Let my people go. And God said these words, I will put a difference between my people and your people, Satan. I will put a difference between my people and the people of this world. And God's people had light in their dwellings when there was darkness in the world. And God's people had purity and holiness in their lives. And they were free from Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, while he infested the homes of those that did not know God. And God's people did not have hail on their livestock and on their crops. And God says, I'm going to protect the finances of my people. I'll put a difference between my people and the Egyptians. There's going to be a marked difference upon them. Now, the initial judgments and plagues that fell on Egypt fell on Israel as well. You know why? Because God had to wake his people out from their idolatry, from their worldliness. God had to wake up his people out of their spiritual stupor. But once those chastisements, once those corrections came upon the people of God, how many here have ever been corrected by God for your worldliness, for entertainments, for spirit, for attitude that's gotten into your heart? God knows how to correct his people. But then he says, I'll make a difference now. I'll make a difference now between you. And what a difference the Lord has made. The people of God, a people of God with a morality, a people of God with righteousness, a people of God with joy, a people of God with the presence of the Lord, a people of God with victory, a people of God with health and healing that this world knows nothing of. God said, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes, not one feeble person. I say this morning, let God be true and every man a liar. Yeah. David said, in God, I will praise his word. In God, I will praise his word. Three times in Psalm 56. In God, I will praise his word. I will praise the word of God. I will praise what the word of God says. I will magnify what the word of God says. David said in Psalm 119, verse 154, quicken me according to your word. Quicken me according to your word. Lord, cause me to come alive to the level of your word. Cause me to come alive to the strength, to the level of your word. Sometimes we pull the word down to our level of experience. We make concessions. We revise the word because it's not being brought forth in its measure in our lives or in our families or in our situations. But we are not to bring the word down to our level. We are to seek God and rise up with our experience to the level of the word of God. Hallelujah. We're not to bring the word down to our experience. We're to seek God to bring our experience up to the level of the word of God. Hallelujah. Such a contending against Moses. When God's word came, let my people go. I want them free from the world system. I want them out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, out from under the heaviness, that spirit that rests upon the nations of the world. God says, I want to set my people free. And as Moses came with the word of the Lord, the Bible says that the powers of darkness, the powers of this world says, I will not let you go. There's a battle. I will not let you go. Satan contesting against the people of God. And what a battle it is sometimes to rid us, to free us from our flesh life, to rid us from our worldliness, to bring us into the full release of God's presence on our life. There's a battle. And when Moses came and said, the Lord says, let my people go, we will serve the Lord. Then the enemy began to make concessions. Well, you can serve the Lord, but stay in Egypt. Put the name of Jesus on your life, but don't walk out of sin and immorality and darkness and sinful living. Keep all the entertainments of the world, but just tag Jesus onto your life. The enemy said, you can go, but don't go very far away. Don't go too far. Because when you're tempted, it's going to be easy for you to slip back into Egypt for a night and commit sin again. The enemy said, okay, one person out of a family can go. Just one person. Let the men go, but not the wives and children. They'll stay in bondage. One member of a family serving God. Then the enemy said, you can go, but not your flocks and your herds. Keep your money in the world. Don't give it to God. Your finances, possessions, leave them in the world. Don't give them unto the treasury of the house of the Lord and the kingdom of God. And you know what Moses said? He said, Pharaoh, we will go with our old and with our young. We will go with our sons and we will go with our daughters. And with our flocks and our herds, we will go. Now, when Moses came with the good news gospel, the good news gospel of deliverance from darkness, out from under oppression, out from under burdens, there was a contesting, and the spiritual warfare didn't decrease initially, it increased. It increased. And we must understand that. Sometimes when we begin to believe God for something, it's like the warfare increases and we become discouraged and we become disappointed. But we must not allow ourselves to turn back at the strength of the battle. We must not allow ourselves to turn back at the strength of the battle, but continue to seek the Lord and put our trust in the Lord. Even Moses was disheartened in Exodus 5, 22 and 23. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. For Moses to come to those kind of words, Lord, since I came to this people, I'm preaching the gospel, deliverance from sin and from debt and from darkness and release from sicknesses and diseases. Lord, since I've come to bring this gospel, Lord, there's been battle and your people have not been delivered. Some of them seem even to be in more difficult situations. And Lord, you haven't delivered your people at all. And God says, I'm going to move. I have come down to deliver my people. Now, the Lord wants to set us free in three areas. He comes to move on us in three areas. Psalm 105. First of all, spiritual release or spiritual freedom and release. Spiritual freedom and release. Psalm 105, 37, he brought them forth. He brought them forth by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of God. He brought them out from that world spirit, out from that sin and slavery and bondage. Also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. 3 John 1 and verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The King James says, Beloved, I desire, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What a word of the Lord. Beloved, I pray, erchomai, the Greek word, I pray, I desire, I wish above everything else that you would prosper financially and be in health, financial provision, and that as your soul prospers, that spiritual prosperity and freedom in our lives. The release of the Lord, the release of the Lord from these struggles, from these captivities. The first one is this area of spiritual release and freedom. It grieves my heart when I see those who are followers of Jesus Christ and months and years go by and they're struggling with temptation and darkness and flesh life that should be overcome. The Lord wants to give us release. The Lord wants to give us freedom from these sin slavery, from the oppression of the flesh life, the oppression of worldliness, from these captivities of this world. The Lord wants to set us free. He says, I've come down. And he has an answer for us. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 to 14. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. The fish has to become smarter than the lure. The fish has to be infused with wisdom so it's not taken by the lure. Satan comes with deceptive means, with flash, with temptation. It's a deception because it always leads to death. It always leads to bondage. Even though there's that flash in it, there's that glimmer in it, it always leads to destruction. And you can get caught by the angler, and the Lord will set you free. And you can get caught again by that devil, by that angler with his temptation, and the Lord will set you free. But we have to become wiser than the bait. We have to become wiser than the lure. Now, temptation seems so inviting because it has the flash of deception in it. The Lord's ways are more plain. The Lord's ways are more dull from a natural point of view. Come to the prayer service, begin to seek the Lord, worship the Lord, come to church, read your Bible, gather with the believers in fellowship. The Lord's ways are rather plain compared to the flash of the lure. But the Bible says, he that keeps them will enjoy great reward. In keeping of them, there is great reward. The Bible says, Romans chapter 6 again. Romans 6, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law. You are not under self-effort, but you are under the empowering presence of God. You are under the grace of God, the empowering presence of God. We don't live by self-determination. We don't live by willpower. We don't live by our own spirit. I'm going to obey and I'm going to do right. We live by a higher law. We live by the Spirit of God inside of us that sets us free. Now, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Death always comes in. Regret, remorse, shame always ends up when we go the way of sin and temptation. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, there is only one remedy for our flesh life, and that is the Holy Spirit. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live by the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the works of your own human effort. If you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. None of us can keep the law perfectly. We do not have that power in our members. But by the Spirit of God, when He becomes on our life and He flows through us, we are empowered to live a holy, righteous, and God-glorifying life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no other remedy for us. When the flesh life is real and the world temptation seems so near, there's an indication for us that we need to get filled with the Holy Spirit more so. We need to draw closer to the Holy Spirit. Now, what are the works of the flesh? Galatians 5, 18 to 19 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, strife, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. He mentioned 17, and then he says, and the like. Fill the last one in, however you want. 18, 9 fruit of the Spirit, 18 works of the flesh. The flesh can really produce. Said, I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the Lord says, I'm come down to deliver my people, to bring them forth. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead that helps us live free from the flesh life, free from worldliness. We need more of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Be filled, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in other tongues. Build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, praying in other languages as the Spirit gives utterance, with groanings and intercessions, calling on the Lord. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. What we need is the powerful baptism in the Holy Spirit, where rivers of living water begin to flow out of us, where the utterance of the Lord comes on our life, and that infilling of the Spirit takes us and lifts us above the power of the flesh and lifts us up above worldliness and the temptation of this world system. We need more of the Holy Spirit. God says, I've come to deliver you. If you're struggling with flesh life today, temptation, worldliness, it's simply an indication that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a greater way. Draw near to the Holy Spirit. Call out on the Holy Spirit. Spend time in the Word. Take on some fasting prayers. Get your life built up in the Holy Spirit so the works of the flesh are broken in your life and you walk in the victory of the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 37, number 2, financial provision and prosperity. Psalm 105:37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person. He brought them forth with silver and gold. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I pray above all things that you may prosper. The financial blessing of the Lord. The Lord wants to minister to us in financial realms. He wants to bring us out from under the oppression and the bondage of the world system. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 21, the word of the Lord to the people was, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. When I take you out and deliver you from the world and make you my people, you will not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask. Every woman shall ask. Every mother shall ask. Of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. People hadn't been paid for many years of slavery. They hadn't received their due remuneration. And God said, in one night, I'm going to make up all that back pay to you. He says, I'm going to give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Silver and gold and clothing for your sons and for your daughters. Exodus 11:2, speak now in the hearing of the people. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor. Let every woman ask. Let every man ask. Let every young person ask. Let every father and mother ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. God wants to bless us financially. God wants to give us provision for our sons and daughters, for our homes, and so we can build his house and be generous with the kingdom and the blessing of the earth. In Matthew 7:7-11, Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. God is no respecter of persons. Everyone who asks receives. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him? How much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him? The Lord wants to bless our lives financially. I thank the Lord for all the people that have come from the nations of the world, and many of them in this house of God today, and I pray over those who have emigrated to this country that God will bless the righteous, that God will provide occupations and professions, that their sons and daughters will be educated, and they will be blessed of the Lord, and in turn, they will be a blessing to this land. God wants to bring us out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, out from under the world system, out from under the bondage. Sometimes we're caught in the slavery of this world system where we're burdened under the taxation. We're burdened under the interest rates. But we must know that God wants to help us. God wants to release us. God wants to free us. God wants to lift our spirits and our minds so we're no longer struggling and overly anxious in these areas, but to know that the Lord has a purpose and he will work out his blessing in our lives. He will work out his blessing in our lives. We begin to pray and ask God for financial liberty, for financial release in our lives. Now, sometimes God does a quick work, and sometimes miracles show up, and sometimes the Lord simply says to us, be patient, and I will work this out over the months and years of time, and I will bring you into the freedom that I have for you. The Lord's ways are sure, but he said, I want you to ask. Let every woman ask. Let every man ask. Everyone who asks receives. Begin to pray and ask God for financial blessing, silver and gold and clothing, provision in this life so you can bless your family and your home, so you can come out from under the burden of debt and oppression. Begin to pray and ask the Lord because it's His desire. He brought them forth also with silver and with gold. Children growing up, young people in the house, praying, Lord, guide my future. Occupation, profession, provision. It's a matter of prayer. The Lord said, I want you to make it a matter of prayer. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask Him? So it's set into our life. We pray for the provision of the Lord. There was a prophecy that came over this house 2 years ago now, a little over 2 years ago. Prophet Charlie Sweet wasn't at this place. It was in another place where I was at, and he ministered over us. But he said these words, the Lord says the debt will come off the people, and then the debt will come off the house. The debt will come off the people, and then the debt will come off the house. And we have seen that wonderfully fulfilled in the last couple years in many situations in this church. The Lord says the debt will come off His people, and then the debt will come off the house of the Lord, and there will be blessing and prosperity. Hallelujah. Number three today, physical health and healing. Physical health and healing. I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. If you obey my word and walk in my statutes and diligently observe my ways, Exodus 15, 26, I will put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you, for I am the Lord that heals you. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. I don't know about you, but I say, let God be true and every man a liar. In God, I will praise His word. Quicken me according to your word. There was not one feeble person among their tribes, young or old. Again, 3 John 1, 2. Beloved, I desire above all things that you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I'm burdened as well, many times by the sickness and ailments in the body of Christ, in this house of God and in the nations of the world that I've been involved with. My spirit cries out against it. Lord, your word, you're the healer, you're the deliverer, you're the Savior. God wants to touch our bodies. It's His desire. It's His will. So many people are preoccupied with their infirmities. Even God's people, always talking about their sickness and pains and aches and their prescriptions and medications and the doctor's reports. The Lord wants to bring us out from under the burden of the Egyptians. The Lord wants to break that spirit of heaviness that comes upon our lives. The Lord wants to set us free. Isaiah 53 and 1. Isaiah cried out by the word of the Lord, who has believed our report? God crying out, who has believed our report? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit crying out, who has believed our report? So many reports, so many statistics, so many medical advisements. And God crying out, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And Isaiah 53 goes on, and we know it's the great chapter in the Bible of the suffering Messiah, our Lord and Savior, and how He came, and He came to bring healing and life to our spirit, to our soul, and to our body, spiritually and physically and financially, to minister to our lives. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He's the great I Am. He's the great healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. God loves to heal us. God loves to minister to us. God wants to minister to our lives. And we must respond to Him in the word of faith. Bring my experience up to the level of your word, Lord. Bring my experience up to the level of your word. No, there are times where there are satanic attacks against our lives, against our bodies. The scripture shows it, and many of us that have walked with the Lord for many years have known those times where there's attack against our physical body. And you have to work out that warfare. You have to work out that situation, just like Job did, just like the woman with the that was bent over double, this daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound. There are physical attacks that come of the enemy. And sometimes in the week, and depending on what you're called to do, you can feel the pressure of the enemy in your physical body. You can feel that buffeting, that badgering of Satan against your life, and you have to work out that warfare, and you have to battle against it. But there is another side to this situation, and that is oftentimes we have a weakness of faith. We have a weakness of faith. We have a resignation of unbelief in us. We have a passive spirit sometimes concerning sickness and disease and the battles we fight with our bodies and infirmities. And we must lift our experience to the Word of God. There are sovereign healings. There are miracles of the Lord, instantaneous workings of miracles, gifts of healings, divine touch from the Lord that's instantaneous and miraculous. And how wonderful that is. But there's also, as Jesus said to many people in the Gospels, he said, according to your faith be it unto you. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. According to your faith, according to your belief, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And we have to ask the Lord to help our unbelief and to build us up in the most holy faith. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits of the word and healed all who were sick. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. We ask God for gifts of healings. We covet, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, we covet the gifts of the Spirit. We pray that God will manifest his power in the congregation, in signs and wonders, in workings of miracles, in gifts of healings, in supernatural instantaneous healing in people's lives. But we also know that we must present ourselves before the Lord in a faith posture. According to your faith, be made whole. We understand the importance on our lives that we present ourselves before God in a faith manner to receive from the Lord, because he wants to build us up. There are answers miraculously. There are answers that come by the development of faith within our own life. Smith Wigglesworth, the great healing evangelist, early 20th century, 1910, 20, 30, in those areas, he said these words, I can see that the ministry of healing is going to get more difficult. It is always difficult when you have to contend with unbelief. There are already too many remedies in which people put their trust. But I can see that it will get worse until it will be hard to get people to believe at all. We have become such a drug-conscious society that in many cases, the aspirin bottle is more important than the anointing bottle. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh. Faith comes. We have to build up our faith. We have to respond to the Lord more fully. When we're suffering and we're battling sickness and disease and infirmity, we must have our faith come. Faith comes. Faith comes. It doesn't come by watching TV. It doesn't come by reading the newspapers. It doesn't come by talking about the situations and how nothing seems to change and this is happening and that's happening. Faith comes by one way, and that is by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want faith to come in our lives, we must get into the Word of God. We must take hold of the promises of God. Memorize Psalm 105:37. Memorize 3 John 1:2 and take hold of the Word of God. I've had sickness struggles, and some of you know the history of some of these. And when I have sickness struggle or ailment struggle in my life, there's only one answer that I want. I have to go to the Word, and I have to get a word from God that changes my situation until I hear from God, and then faith is quickened to meet that need and that situation. Now, that happens in other areas of our life as well. When we're struggling with temptation and sin, if there's issues and circumstances, if there's physical ailment, we must go to the Word of God and get that faith, get that quickening word to come forth in our life, because once that word comes forth, we have the petition that we desired of Him. Faith comes by hearing. We must build ourselves up on our most holy faith until that answer is there. Now, the Apostle Paul in Romans 4 spoke of Abraham, verse 19. Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, God was also able to perform. That is how faith works. Abraham was disheartened. Abraham thought there was no hope, but he heard a word from God. And once he got that word from God, he went to work with that word. He went to work with that word. And he was strengthened in faith by that word. And he became fully convinced that what God had spoken in his spirit, he would perform. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them. When we're in struggle, when we're in physical struggle, there's only one answer. We go to the word until we get a word from God. And then we have the answer from the Lord for our situation. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Their health to all their flesh. Give attention to the scriptures. Incline your ear. Spend more time in the Word. Confess the Word of God. Guard the Word of God in your spirit, in your heart. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That's what God says. God is not a man that he should lie. He said, if we will immerse our lives in the Word of God, before our eyes, in our heart, attending, obeying, seeking the Lord, they are life. Those scriptures are life to all our flesh. Health to all our flesh. Proverbs 14 and 30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart. A heart that is right with God. A heart that is clean before God. A sound heart. A person whose heart is in right relationship with God. They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. God says that sound heart will minister healing and health to your flesh. Mark 11 and verse 20. Mark 11 and verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Or have the faith of God. What was he speaking of? Have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, what he declares, what he proclaims, what he prophesies. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Jesus was teaching us that we need to receive the faith of God for our situation. Have the faith of God. Jesus could curse the fig tree and it wither at the roots because he had a word from God. And when he spoke that word, the situation was determined. Jesus said, it's the same with us. Have the faith of God. How do we receive the faith of God? Faith cometh. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We draw close to the Lord. We draw close to his word. We draw close to the Holy Spirit. And as we do, we don't know the duration. God knows the timing. But all of a sudden, there's a word from God. And we know exactly what to do. And we know the answer of the Lord in a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a divine healing, a gift of the Lord. And the Lord said, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." When we first begin to believe God for something, there's sometimes a lot of doubt. We're wondering, will God answer? We run up a list of all the people who had similar situations and they had no breakthrough. We've got all kinds of bombardment against our mind and our heart and our emotions. We hear the doctor's reports and we go on the internet and see the impossibility and the percentages of all these things. But we need to let faith come. Let faith arise. Let doubts diminish and faith increase. Let doubts subside and let faith increase in our lives. And how do we do that? By staying in the presence of God, staying in the Word of God, speaking the Word of God. We will hear God speak to us. We will know what to say. We will know what words to say. We will not talk about this or that anymore. We will not let our words run out negative or in an unbelieving way anymore because we're holding on to the promise of God. And Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. That word of faith, that spirit of faith, that word of the Lord comes in you, and you will have them. With all my heart, this is not theory. It's reality. And those who have walked with God many years, like many of us have, these words are not theory, they are reality. And they have happened time and time and time again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. In God I will praise his word. Today I'm making a declaration of the word of God to our lives. God is not a man that he should lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. And when my experience doesn't go up to the level of the word, I don't try and rationalize that word and, well, maybe this situation, maybe it doesn't work here or there. I want to bring, by seeking God, my experience up to the level of the word of God. Now let's stand this morning together, and I want to invite people to come to the front today, to the altar. The Bible says in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. And be slow to speak about your situation and what's wrong and what's happening and all the reports. Be slow on that. Be very slow on that. In fact, I like to be silent on that if you want to know the truth. Because I want to be speaking the promise of God. I want to be speaking the word of God. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will praise his word. Now, there may be some this morning that say, I need to dedicate my life to the Lord afresh. There may be some here under financial difficulty. The burdens of Egypt, difficulty in the financial realm, and it's caused tension and friction in your home. Till there's arguing and discord. The Lord's saying to you this morning, come and cast your burden on the Lord and don't pick it up again. And when you look at your finances and bills need to be paid, you say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You take your husband or your wife, you take your family by the hand, and you begin to pray and say, Lord, you brought your people forth with silver and gold. You want wealth and treasure to be in our houses, and we're believing you for this situation to change. It may take weeks, it may take a few months, it may even take a few years, but our trust is in you, that you will fulfill your word in this family, according to the word of God. Some here that are struggling with flesh life and worldliness and addictions and things that haven't broken. You know, the world comes along and they try and rehabilitate a person, modify behaviors. They prune the fruit off a person's life, and in extreme cases, they even put the person in prison. But they're watching. They don't trust that tree. They know when that tree gets out, that those same symptoms could manifest again, because we're not into rehabilitation. We're not into behavior modification. John the Baptist said the axe must be laid to the root of the trees. In repentance. We repent of our sins. We let God sever the flesh life, that old life we are. We're grafted into Christ, because a corrupt tree will always bring forth corrupt fruit. But a good tree grafted into Christ will bring forth good fruit. There are people in this place that have been grafted into Christ. I talked to a person last week that I'm so burdened, my heart is so heavy, because I've watched this young lady and make such advances in the Lord, and yet struggling these last few days under a spirit of suicide and brokenness. And I cry out to the living God, Lord, you brought your people forth, and I pray that we'll get victory over the flesh life. We'll get victory over addictions. We'll get victory over the world spirit and the temptations of the enemy because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're struggling with flesh life, worldliness, temptation, I want you to step out from where you are and come to this altar. If you're struggling under financial oppression, I want you to step out and come to this altar. If you're struggling under sin and ailment, I want you to step out and come to this altar and present yourself before the Lord. I don't want the prayer team to come today. I don't want the prayer team to come. Nobody praying for anybody, but those that want prayer, you come and stand and present yourself before the Lord. You may have long-standing sickness and ailment in your life, or you may have something recent that you're struggling with and you're believing God for. Then come and present yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe your word. You brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble person among the tribes. Beloved, I pray above all things that you might prosper financially and be in health physically as your soul prospers spiritually. God wants to put a difference between his people and the Egyptians. God says, let my people go. Come and present yourself before the Lord. Lift your hands in the presence of God. Say, Lord, I cast my burden on you. Hallelujah. There may be instant miraculous change this morning. There may be words from the Lord this morning that come into your heart, and you know the warfare weapon God's given you. There may be a rhema that comes to your heart, a verse of scripture that's quickened in your life this morning, and you say, that is what I will speak. I will speak the word of the Lord, and that alone will I speak. For he that believes, that declaration of the Lord will have the petition he desires of the Lord. Hallelujah. You may receive an instantaneous word and ministry today, and others may receive a call of the Lord to walk in faith, that the Lord would say to you in time to come, according to your faith be it unto you. Your faith has made you whole. Today you're saying, I'm making a commitment to walk in faith. I'm going to take the word of God. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to begin to strengthen my faith until I don't consider my body, until I don't consider my circumstances, but I will believe the word of God above everything else. Now I want the rest of us, many at the front this morning, but the rest of us, I want us to be a wall that backs these people this morning. A wall of worshipers, a wall of warriors to back these people as they lay out their burden before the Lord and cast it upon him. Let's magnify the Lord together. Hallelujah.